This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah,
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
استووا استقيموا الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين إنا فتحنا لك فتحا ليغفر لك الله ما تقدم من ذنبك وما تأخر ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما ليدخل المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ويكفر عنهم سيئاتهم وكان ذلك عند الله فوزا عظيما ويعذب المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات الظانين بالله ظن السوء عليهم دائرة السوء وغضب الله عليهم ولعنهم وأعد لهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عزيزا حكيما إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا لتؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله لآله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Please stay back inshallah. Sheikh Abdul Bari, class will start right after in Sunnah inshallah. جزاكم الله خير. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Inshallah, we'll start in about 5 minutes. Let me just, I just wanted to move my car. No, no black people. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, after the battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that there was a possibility of the Meccans coming back to attack the Muslims, because their objective when they came out of Mecca, Abu Sufyan and the Meccans, they wanted to finish the Muslims off once and for all. In other words, they wanted to defeat the Muslims, a sound defeat, where there were no more Muslims, and Medina would be taken over. That was the objective when they left. But of course, after the Battle of Uhud, that didn't happen. So they didn't fulfill their tactical objectives. And the Muslims, because of the disobedience of the archers and because of what had happened, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was afflicted. The Muslims were, many were martyred. So a lot of the Muslims were harmed and injured as a result of that. And many lost their lives and families after the Battle of Uhud, when the Muslims were returning back to their houses. That night, when they spent that night, it was a time in which it wasn't a time that was easy. Many of them were in pain. Many of them were inflicted and injured as a result of all that chaos that was going on. Because if you have 70 of the companions were martyred, how many more were injured? So a lot of people were injured, including, as a result of the disobedience, and of course this is something that we spoke about and the lessons that we learned about the consequences of the disobedience of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so all the archers, of course, who abandoned, who stayed on the mountain, they were killed. And the other ones who went after the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. But this was a test for the Muslims. And so the Muslims were in great pain. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home. He was still bleeding from his injuries. His shoulder was injured. His face was cut. His teeth were broken. He gave the sword to Fatima radiallahu anha. And almost every household in Medina, they were going through the same thing. They were going through pain and injury and difficulty. And even with all of that, the next day, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered all of them again to continue to gather. He ordered every single one of them. Those who were there during the battle of Uhud, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them to take arms again. Now this is something that's not something that's easy. After you've been injured, especially, sometimes when you are on the battlefield, because of the adrenaline and everything that's going on, you don't feel the pain as much. That's why for those who play sports, when you have a game, during the game, it doesn't hurt. After the game,
like your whole body is sore. And that's a game. That's a game only. This is a battle where people are injured and many were martyred. So it was a difficult time because everyone is feeling it. Everyone is feeling. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes an announcement that everyone needs to gather and get ready to go again. Like no rest at all. Still in pain, we're getting ready to go again. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he ordered the companions, there were some people who wanted to join also. Even remember the hypocrites who abandoned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the hypocrites who abandoned, so the total number of fighters was 1/3, of course, left, and the remainder was about 700. And of the 700, well, you have 70 who were already martyred. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered the companions to get ready, and the hypocrites, again, they said, okay, they wanted to join, including Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Like they wanted to join the Muslim army. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not want the hypocrites to join them, because now they know who the hypocrites are. And he only wants those who are willing to sacrifice and fight. So even though he was able to, I mean, you can get more people to replace those who were martyred, and you even get more people to join you, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow anyone to join this group unless they had participated in the battle of Uhud. There was an exception. It was Jabir ibn Abdullah. He wanted to join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He sought permission. And anybody know why Jabir didn't join the Muslims at Uhud?
His father was there.
Yes, his father was there, but why? His father was there.
Because he lived in his family.
Yes, his father was worried. He had a lot of sisters, right? And so Abdullah ibn Haram was his father, so father of Jabir ibn Abdullah. So he said, you know, like there's a lot of people who we need to take care of. So let me join, and you stay and take care of the women in the family, right? Take care of the women in the family. So he wasn't able to join. Of course, his father was amongst those who was martyred in the battle of Uhud. But he wanted to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he wanted to join from the very beginning, but he was prevented from doing so. So he sought permission from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to join the companions in this next campaign. What is this campaign called? This is called Ghazwa Hamra al-Asad. Ghazwa, and what is the Ghazwa? Remember we said Ghazwa is something that is a campaign that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joined. Or it's a major campaign. Sometimes even if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not join that particular ghazwa or that particular campaign, you still call it a ghazwa because of the significance of it. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately he wanted to go to an area. He was going to go to an area called Hamra al-Asad. But why was he leaving again? Because Abu Sufyan was, and also some of the Meccans, they were saying that, what did we get? What, we didn't fulfill our objectives. What did we do? We neither killed Muhammad, nor did we finish them off. But we had an opportunity. There's so many of them who died. So many of them were killed. And of course, many of the companions, as we mentioned before, they had already flee. They fled back to Medina also. So the Meccans, on their way back, they were disappointed. They were very, very disappointed. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that Abu Sufyan was planning, because there was a caravan that was headed towards Medina, and he had told them, he said, you know, we're planning to kill him, to finish him off. We do have more. And he was also saying that we have even more support coming. So we have a larger support coming, and we're going to finish them off once and for all. And this was, of course, what he was saying was more than what they even had. And so what you have, sort of like a psychological warfare, scaring. So the Meccans are trying to scare the Muslims, and they want to see what they're going to do, right, with the reaction of the Muslims. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not going to take any of that. Right, so that's why immediately the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the Muslims, and there was Ma'bad al-Khuza'i. He had recently accepted Islam, but Abu Sufyan did not know. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him again to tell him that, you know, the Muslims, they are coming after you guys. They're coming after you guys. And not only are they going to come after you, they have even more numbers, larger numbers. They're larger numbers. They want to finish you guys off before you go back to Mecca. So everyone is sending messages. And that's why, you know, in warfare, you're always, you have the psychological warfare before, because some people can lose psychologically before the battle can even begin. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tired. He was in pain. The companions were in the same situation also. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, even though if they had more support, it would be helpful. But some of the Muslims, not even the hypocrites, there's just some of the Muslims who did not go to Uhud. They said, Ya Rasulullah, nahruj ma'ak. Like, okay, we'll go with you this time also. And the Messenger of Allah said, "La." He says, "No, la yakhruj ma'ana illa man shahid al-qital." Like, no one is allowed to come and join us except for those who were at the battlefield, at the battle. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left with the remainder of the army that was there. So the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though they're tired, like, you think it's over, you think the battle's over, you're getting ready to rest up, and you're ready to rest from your injuries and the difficulties. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the companions to go to an area called Hamra al-Asad. And this is the name of the campaign, called Ghazwa Hamra al-Asad. And this was about 8 miles from Medina, going south. Of course, this is towards the direction that the Meccans were already headed. And so the Meccans, the Meccans also hear the news that, hey, the Muslims are coming. So the Muslims, they stay there. They spent 3 days at Hamra al-Asad. And what did they do there? They spent and they lit 500 fires every single night. Like, imagine 500 fires. Like, even if you have 700, you don't need 500 fires. You don't need, one fire is enough for maybe 10 people. Right? One fire is enough for 10 people, or even more than that. But he ordered the companions to light 500 fires. Yeah, imagine 500 fires. Imagine 500 fires. Like, I know, speaking about fires in these times, it's not appropriate. But for some of the people, I know one of the masajids actually I've been to. The masjid and the imam's house is burnt down, and so they do have this is the I think Altadena Mosque in that area, and that whole neighborhood, the whole area. And there's a Muslim community there, also a small Muslim community. I don't know, but I remember praying and I've been going there like I think twice in that area. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lit. Imagine, this is in the desert, 500 fires. At nighttime, that area is going to be glowing. That air is going to be lit, and it's glowing. This was all what? This is all to, this is to scare the Meccans not to come. Right? And so some people might say, well, let them come, let's fight. Let's fight. Let them come. We'll defeat them. Why don't we let them come? But in Islam, you never ask for difficulties. You don't want any hardships, right? You don't want any hardships. You don't want any extra difficulties. But if you have to fight, then you fight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لَتَتَمَنَّوا لِقَاءَ الْعَدُوُ. Don't desire to meet the enemy. وَلَكِنْ إِذَا لَقِيتُمُوهُمْ فَثْبُتُوا. But if you do meet them, then be firm. Then be firm. And so you don't want to meet the enemy. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to have a sense of a victory and be positive, also have a positive feeling after what happened at Uhud. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning this in Surah Nisa, in takunu ta'lamun fa innahum ya'lamuna kama ta'lamun. Indeed, just like you guys, just like you are in pain, but you also have to understand they're suffering also. They're going through pain also. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But for you, you have hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which they don't have. Like, what do they have? What kind of motivation do they have? The motivation for the Muslim is the pleasure of Allah and the Jannah. True success, Jannah, the gardens, the Jannah of which, the width of which is the width of the heavens and the earth. For the muttaqeen, for the martyrs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what do they have? What do they have? They have nothing. They have nothing. So sometimes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in a time of difficulty, at a time in which you are in pain. You're going through a lot of difficulty, but you're still being tested. And you still have to be obedient to Allah and His Messenger. And that's why I mentioned before with Maryam, the mother of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, when she was giving birth, she went through emotionally, it was like no one was being tested like someone like that in terms of what's happening, because she's giving birth and now she has to go also bring a baby back, and also she's by herself. For many people who think, maybe some of the sisters, if you don't have your husbands next to you when you're giving birth, it's hard enough. She had nobody. You might have your father-in-law or your father still, or your sisters, and some people are with you. She has nobody with her. She has nobody, to the point where she says, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًا. Like, oh, woe is to me. If only I had died before this and I was not even mentioned at all whatsoever because of the test that she was going through. And then after giving birth, and then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell her to do? وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ نَخْلَ. Go and shake. You know what I mean? You want energy food? Go and shake the date palm. Ya Allah. Go and shake a date palm. Like, it's, you know, when you look at, you can't shake a date palm. Like, it's a whole tree, and the date palm is like, you know, very firm. And she has no energy. But you still do it. Because Allah wants to see you put out that effort, then it'll help you. And the miracles will happen. So you might be struggling. Like, how do I pay my bills? I'm going through difficulties right now. Just go out and work. Don't go out and beg and depend on other people. Do your best and Allah will open up the way for you. You just make the effort and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the way for you. So even when you're going through difficulty, you're like, what, how are we going to face them now? Like, we're so tired. We have no more energy left. Like, but go. Allah will give you victory. And Allah will make it easy for you. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Indeed, with every difficulty, there's ease. With every difficulty, you think that this is it. You can't get up anymore from bed. So imagine next day you're in pain, you're injured, you can barely move. You know, for those who, when I was in Seattle here in high school, I used to play running back football in high school. We play at nighttime. The next day, you know, on Saturday, I can't get out of bed. Like, I can't barely move because my body is so sore. You know, you think soccer is bad? With football, when you're getting hit all the time, especially when you are getting hit almost every play when you're running the ball. You know, high school, they only give you the ball because the quarterback doesn't know how to throw. That's all you do. So you're in pain on Saturday. I can't get out of bed hardly. Like, you can't move. So you're in pain. You have no energy, all this difficulty. But you still go out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're tired. It's time to pray. Fajr, man, I didn't even sleep last night. And you think, I only slept for 1 hour. And you've already made the decision to not go to Fajr. Right? No, make the decision to go to Fajr. When you make wudu, after you go to the bathroom, you make wudu, like, you come here, you have energy. I know some of the brothers are like, man, I didn't think I was going to make it for Fajr. Right? And as soon as they pray, when they went out, they're like, I ask sometimes we go out like for breakfast or with some of the brothers and then before we go, the brothers are like, man, I didn't get any sleep last night. After Fajr, I'm going straight back to bed. And they're going straight back to bed. And then after they pray Fajr, like, Alhamdulillah, you know, they only slept for maybe less than an hour. But, you know, I have a lot of energy. So sometimes you think you can't get up for Fajr. The alarm goes off and you think, you know, just 5 more minutes. 10 more minutes. Like, let me just 15 more minutes. And you, like, set the, you know, the snooze, right? The snooze. Just get up. You'll see that 5-10 minutes, you don't really need it, inshallah. You know what? Just get up and you have the energy. Even if you feel you don't have any energy. But when you're getting up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the energy. It's the shaitan that's trying to play with your head and he's whispering all kinds of things. What's he saying? Man, you didn't even sleep last night. Yeah, it's cold too. It's cold. It's cold outside. And it's raining outside. And I forgot to, you know, I don't have enough time. But, let me just wait. You know, my wife is going to go to the bathroom anyways. Like, first. Let her go first. And you let her go first, it's over. Time is over. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ من بعد ما أصابهم القرح الذين استجابوا لله والرسول. Those who answered the call of Allah and His Messenger. Those who answered the call of Allah and the Messenger. من بعد ما أصابهم القرح. After they were afflicted with all the injuries, all the difficult, all the injuries, everything that happened to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ. Those who do good amongst them and have taqwa, they will have a great reward. So in the times of difficulties, and so another thing also, sometimes you feel like, you know, you feel like you're going through a lot of difficulties. And then there's a need, some brother who's in need. And you're like, no, yeah, I wish I had money to help him. I wish I had money to help him. But I don't have it. I don't have much. I have, then you start, then the shaitan comes. You know, you got your car payments. You got winter heating bills. Very expensive. All of these things start coming. Do you know where that comes from? The shaitan, when he whispers in your heart, he doesn't whisper in your ears, you don't hear it in your ears. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. So what is that? You hear, these are ideas and thoughts that are whispers from the shaitan, but you think they're your own thoughts. So anytime you hear something that's telling you to delay a good deed, or to not do a good deed, or to give less, that, know that that's from the shaitan. Because the shaitan doesn't want you to do any good. He wants you to delay. So you have to recognize that. And so you remember, how do you get rid of that? Remember Allah. So if you have a hard time getting up in the Fajr in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Maybe you forgot to say something. The first thing is you remember Allah. One of the most amazing things is you say, what? What do you say when you wake up? Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. Any whispers that come before that, ignore it. Say this first. Say Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana. Praise Allah. All praises be to Allah, who has given us life after He has taken it away, meaning given us death. وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. And it is unto Him we shall return. So you remember that in the end, you praise Allah that you are able to wake up after you've slept, because so many people go to sleep and they don't wake up. And then you remember the hereafter, that your objective in life, like, you know what? What benefit is this sleep right now? Inshallah, in Jannah, I won't even need sleep. It's all about enjoyment. You don't need sleep. You won't sleep. You won't even feel. You're tired right now. There's no more tiredness. There's no more tiredness in Jannah. So you feel tired. You don't like that feeling. Wake up. Like, I don't like that feeling. Inshallah, when I wake up, Allah gives me Jannah, I will never feel like this again ever. In Jannah, you know, some people, they say, I'm not a morning person. In Jannah, you're always a morning person, night person, whatever, it doesn't matter. You always are full of energy, always happy, so never tired. And so you also don't need sleep, you're not going to feel sleepy. You don't like this, go and pray. And work for Jannah so you don't have to worry about this anymore. You don't have to worry about all of this, inshallah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا. Those who have do good and they have taqwa, they're conscious of Allah, they will have أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. They will have a great reward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. So this is, remember, they, what are they hearing? What's the news that's coming? What's the news that's coming? Now, a lot of people are coming back to Medina. And this time they're going to come and wipe you out. This time it's not going to be, you know, like before. We're coming back and it's going to be over. This is it. And we're going to come back with more also. What, that's the news that's coming to Medina. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, those whom, when the people said to them, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ, indeed the people have gathered to destroy you and wipe you once and for all. Of course, this happens, this was in Uhud and also in Al-Ahzab that was going to be coming up also, right? In, he said, Ghazza. Yes. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدَ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. So be afraid of them. Be afraid of them. But what does it do for them? فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their iman only increases. When people try to play psychological warfare, try to scare you, as a Muslim, a believer, you put your trust in Allah. You're not scared. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. So the first thing that, you know, Muslims nowadays, the weakness of the Muslims is not because the Muslims are actually weak. It's their perception that they are weak is the problem. That we think we're weak. And the non-Muslims make you think that you're weak. That you have no power, no strength whatsoever. And so you give up. So you don't want to go. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to make a difference. But know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Like even if you don't have energy, those dates are coming down if you shake it. You think you can't shake it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives rizq. Allah is the one who gives victory. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. And they say, enough for us is Allah. Enough for us is Allah. And when you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't need anything else. And حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And he also said it in the battle of Ahzab, Ghazwat Ahzab. And another prophet also who was thrown into the fire. He was thrown into the fire. What did he say? Which prophet was thrown? Prophet Ibrahim. Thrown into the fire, what does he say? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he put his trust in Allah. So even fire that burns became bardan wa salaman li Ibrahim. It became cool and also not just cool, but pleasant for Ibrahim. And that's why when you're going through difficulty and hardship, do what you need to do in the obedience of Allah. Remember Allah and put your trust in Allah. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And when you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٍ. فَانْقَلَبُوا. So they went, when they put their trust in Allah, and they went out, even though they had no energy, not an ounce of energy left, every part of their body is in pain. Even the Messenger of Allah, from his head to his legs, his feet, the Messenger of Allah couldn't pray standing up after the battle of Uhud, remember. That's how much pain he was in. But the companions were also in pain, but they all, by the order of Allah and his Messenger, and the Messenger, they went and they were quick in responding. They didn't say, oh, just give us a few days. Let's rest for 2 or 3 days. When we see them, we'll go out. No, they didn't give them the opportunity to even come. They were going after the Meccans already. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ وَفَضْلٍ. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they wanted, victory. What kind of victory? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they came back with the blessing of Allah and His favors. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. No hardship, no difficulty, no harm afflicted them whatsoever. Did they have to fight? Allah is testing them. No, you don't have to fight. It was just a test. Because when the Meccans heard that the Muslims were coming, you see all that fire, they're gone. Like, oh, that's enough for us. I think we did our thing. Like, who won this psychological warfare here? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, they, the Meccans, again continued on their journey to Mecca. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. And they followed the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave bless to them, and they also earned, they were looking after the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever surely the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the blessings and the favors, the greatest of blessings and favors. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps the believers. So you make that decision, Allah will make it easy for you. What's the ease? They just had to go. They went out. Did they have to fight again? Yeah, some of them said, how am I going to fight? Like, I can barely move. My body can barely move. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. You don't have to fight. Now, the Meccans are fleeing. And they are scared. And before this, when you were scared, it was the shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Indeed, that, you know, the feeling that you have, indeed that was surely from the shaitan. It is only from the shaitan that he tried to scare you. That he tried to scare you. So the shaitan tries to scare you. Tries to scare you and tries to threaten you. When you give, he threatens you with poverty. When you're afraid, he threatens you. When you feel like, you know, you're not, you know, you don't have the energy to go forward, he threatens you with fear. And he threatens you with so many things. But it is from the shaytan. إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. It is the shaytan that tries to put fear in the people. He puts fear in the people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. So don't be afraid of them. And Allah says, وَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ. Because you have two types of shaytan. What kind? إِنَّ ذَلِكُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ and شَيَاطِينَ الْجِنِ. Amongst the jinn and the mankind also. Amongst the jinn and mankind. Those are among mankind. They are the ones who try to put fear in your heart. Try to threaten you. Trying to make you afraid of doing good deeds. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِي إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If surely you are believers. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. And there are many lessons, of course, in the battle of Uhud. But afterwards also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in this ghazwa, Hamra al-Asad, in which the huge group of over 600 companions went out to go after the Meccans. They'll go after the Meccans. They were trying to put fear in the hearts of the believers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them victory. Gave them victory without even fighting. So that they have a sense of victory. Like, what did you do? You were victorious. In the end, you were victorious. In the end, you are thinking when you come home and you're seeing everything that happened so quickly when you don't look at the bigger picture. But in the end, you guys protected Medina by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there were some, you know, setbacks. You know, there are some masa'ib, the musibah, that some calamities that occurred as a result. But you learn from those lessons. And sometimes you're tested with something so that you can be stronger the next time. And so at the end also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslims so when they're coming back, they don't have to fight, yet at the same time they feel like they achieved victory. So immediately after the battle of Uhud, Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Do not be deflated. Do not be sad, do not be deflated. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْقَلِبُوا بِنِعْمَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ. Like now you go back. Go back with the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You didn't even have to help fight. Allah gave you victory. The Meccans fled in this battle. There's no fighting, but you got victory. Victory without fighting. Victory without any harm or hardships like previous ones. And it is by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And so that's why the blessing of peace, and the lesson that we learn also, that, you know, sometimes you feel like you can't go anymore, but Allah tests you with even more. But it's a test. If you pass it, Allah will make things easy for you. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَا يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever has taqwa in Allah, Allah will make a way for him, will open a way for him, and he will give him rizq from where he did not even perceive. وَمَا يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, whoever puts their trust in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, then indeed it is enough for them. And so these the companions, they put their trust in Allah. Even though they'd heard the Meccans are coming back, and they're not coming back with just, they already have more people, but they're coming back with even more. And more, you're going to fight a larger army. But they weren't afraid. They said, Hasbunallah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And so that's one of the main lessons that we can learn from Hamra al-Asad. That don't be tricked by the shaitan. The shaitan tries to threaten you with all kinds of things. It is the shaitan that's trying to help keep you away from the obedience of Allah. If you want true success, then answer the call of Allah and His Messenger, even in times of hardship. And that's why the believer, the muttaqun, is who? الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in times of ease and in times of hardship. You might say, okay, yeah, they have money, they spend. No. And that's what the mistake some people make. The mistake that some people make is what? They work very hard. They're like, inshallah, if Allah gives me this, I'm going to give. No. You give now, and then Allah will give. You give now. The true believer spends, even in times of difficulty. You're going through it. You're afraid. Oh, man, I don't know. There are some people in my company, they're losing their job already. Right? They're getting laid off. That's the perfect time to give. You give, and inshallah, you won't be laid off. And even if you do, in the end, you'll see that, mashallah, Allah gave me a better job. Glad I'm still not at that company. And then, or I have better. Now I'm doing my own business. I'm making even more than before. But Allah will test you in the most difficult time. And it's those difficult times when you test it, whether you pass or not, will determine whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you His blessings and bounties. For Him belongs the heaven, the treasures of the heavens and the earth. And it is He alone who gave victory. So the Muslims came out of Hamra al-Asad victorious without even fighting a single battle, or without even fighting a single person. Right? The Meccans fled. And so this was a very, very sort of like in terms of their mental state, changed a lot, made them have this izzah. Like, look, we are strong. Look, they're afraid of us. They're afraid of us. Before they're talking about coming back, no, they're afraid of us. Now you see the true reality of the awliya of shayateen. The shayateen, the enemies of Allah, they're afraid because they have nothing to hope for. They're cowards because they have nothing to fight for that's of any value. Not like the believer. The believer fights for Allah's sake, struggles for Allah, gives for Allah, does everything for Allah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the best of this world and the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify the condition of the Muslims, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us strong to the end. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, "Nusirtu bi ru'b masirat al-shahr." I have been given the victory of ru'b, means fear in the people's heart before they even fight. So this is something that's specific for the Muslims, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers. It's for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers, because all the other blessings that's mentioned with that, you know, those who follow in the steps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who uphold the Quran and the Sunnah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. Ma'bad ibn Ma'bad al-Khuzai. Yeah.
It's the same Ma'bad that was during the Hijrah. Ma'bad that found
the. Yes, he's from the Khuza'a tribe also. From the Khuza'a. But I don't. He's from. He's from the same area, but it's not. This is, yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was Abu Ma'bad. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Wallahu a'lam.